It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Texas Star Grill Shop on Shepherd and 59. Here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number 9,
hour 2 of the show begins. We are at Texas right, didn't have Star Real Shop. This is the Shepherd and 59 freeway location. And they are offering great deals if you are someone who loves the grill. Whether you're looking for a new grill or you're just simply looking for accessories as far as making the best or grilling the best steaks or sausage that you want, they're going to be here to service you. Whether it's the Texas Star Post Oak Cooking Wood, or maybe you actually want to make a bigger purchase, like and they'll give you $500 off a Traeger, $800 off a Blaze, $200 off a Napoleon. I'm surrounded by grills right now. I was asked the question, do I have a grill at home? No. I don't know if it's on the account that I'm a single man and grilling for myself seems like a lot. But no, I do not have a grill. But it feels like this would be the place I would come if I was looking to start that portion of my life. I don't know. Sean, are you a grill person? Do you have one?
No, I do not.
No, I feel like I'm at a – if I'm a person who's really excited about spending upwards of $500 on a gaming system for one game, maybe the grill is something I push a little further down the priority list. But, you know, at some point, maybe it's because I'm not originally from here. I don't know. I didn't grow up in grill culture, if that happens to be a thing in California. It wasn't a thing. We didn't grill outside. It just wasn't a thing in my home.
Man, you're not part of the culture, Del. The grill culture.
Never claimed to be when it comes to cooking woods and other things, but I see the appeal. They have some nice things out here, and hell, who doesn't love beef? Well, I guess vegetarians and vegans don't, but if you aren't one of those people, we're serving the beef. Not me, because you wouldn't want me, as I just told you. I'm not a grill person. You don't want me cooking it for you. But we have an actual chef out here grilling up sausage and steaks for people if they show up here looking for something for the Memorial Day weekend. And there's a sale that's going through May 31st, brought to you by Texas Star Grill. So come out here, take advantage, get something to eat, and also set yourselves up for the summer, because it is that time to get outside and get grilling. Yesterday, this has been a conversation throughout. The Caitlin Clark conversation is not one where I'm particularly interested in all of the basketball stuff, but I am interested in kind of the discourse, because there seems to be a disconnect. There is one side of the equation, and maybe the problem is people think there are just two sides. There are people who believe that the discussion about her is disingenuous, because if you consider people pushing back on the narrative that she is the only reason of the explosion and growth of the WNBA, and they think that's an ill-informed opinion, you shouldn't consider us jealous or petty because we don't think what you're saying is correct on that. And there are others who think, hey, you're being jealous. You're petty, because her involvement in this sport is giving everyone an opportunity to get a bag. I think it's more nuanced. I think anyone who pushes back on the notion, I think, is right, at least in some regards, in their opinion, because the numbers are out there that the WNBA's growth began before Caitlin Clark, years before it, and bringing a star into the league is going to help anyone. Like, I don't know where the NBA was when LeBron got there, and I bring him up because we're going to hear some sound from him here. But the people who were running the NBA needed a star, and LeBron was that star. But I don't know if TV deals were and growth was being hurt by not having LeBron around. I just think it's not as simple as she's here, there's crazy growth, and she should be the only one who's getting credit for it. But here's LeBron James discussing his son, Caitlin Clark, and the comparisons between his time when he entered the league and what Caitlin Clark's going through.
The one thing that I love that she's bringing to her sport more people want to watch. More people want to tune in. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it f***ed up. Caitlin Clark is the reason why a lot of great things is going to happen for the WNBA. But for her individually, I don't think she should get involved on nothing that's being said. Just go have fun, enjoy, you know. But I'm rooting for Caitlin because I've been in that seat before. I've walked that road before. I hope she kills. I hope Aaliyah Boston does amazing. You know, I hope they do great. You know, I'm just kind of in this mode right now because I'm getting the same, you know, thing from watching my son, who's a 19-year-old, kind of getting a lot of animosity and hatred towards him when he's just a kid trying to live out his dream. You know, there's a very small number of men and women that actually get to live out their dream of playing the professional sport. And we have grown-ass men and women out here doing whatever they can to try to make sure that does not happen. That is the weirdest thing in the world, but it is what it is, and I'm glad that Caitlin has a great head on her shoulders.
I think my problem is the inability to discern or acknowledge that there are genuine people having a discussion about it and trolls. And is there any person who's actually involved in the WNBA who is praying for and hoping and contributing to its growth that actually has an issue with Caitlin Clark being in the league? I feel like if they do exist, it's a very small percentage. And then why are you pushing back against that small percentage? LeBron's been in the game a long time. He knows there are certain people who are coming from a genuine place when they have discussions and other people who are just out to create noise. So as a veteran of the game that he is, I feel like he missed the point. Have those conversations with people who actually care about the WNBA, not people who are simply jumping into the discourse because it's a fun thing to do on social media. Because, hey, those women are petty because they think there are more things involved in the growth of the WNBA than one person. That's something I think is beyond or below a guy like LeBron. He knows better. And the Barkley thing, he's being Barkley on Inside the NBA. He just called the women petty for it. And I don't even know who he's referring to. That's the problem. Because when you say it like that, it means you're talking about anyone who might have a vested interest in the league. Or maybe be more specific. When you generalize an entire group who may push back on the notion that Caitlin Clark's the only reason why the brand is growing, I think you get yourself in a little trouble. If you have a particular target, do that, and then we can actually have a real conversation about what they said. But when you say, hey, all of you guys are petty, I think it gets to a weird spot where it doesn't do credence to a real conversation about it. And that's just kind of how discourse is in the world. And Barkley's an entertainer more than anything else. It wasn't a podcast where you can go for 40 minutes about it. Charles out there to be entertaining, and it was. I just think it's funny that immediately after he did it, Chiney, who is, I want to get her name right, Chiney Agumeke, is a former player, and she's an ESPN analyst, and she kind of went through the numbers about why maybe some of the things Charles is saying is a little ill-informed or uninformed about, on the subject matter. She had the numbers to back it up. So that's a person you can actually have a real conversation with. Not some random who's yelling about Caitlin Clark's influence. Charles Barkley shouldn't be talking to those people. He should be having a conversation with her, and maybe we would have an actual real discourse about it. But so be it. Charles got a job to do, and he does it well. He may not have that particular job very much longer. He spoke about that as well. How Inside the NBA has a year left because AT&T will not have the NBA next year. And he's kind of despondent about it because of what it means for everybody else. So I think we're going to hear a lot about that going forward. He couldn't restrain himself from making a joke about how as long as those checks clear on the 1st and the 15th, and it's going to happen for one more year. So that is something that's not even underplayed. You look at it on social media, a lot of people are upset about the fact that Inside the NBA is going to be no more, it looks like. And Charles has maybe even proposed, because of his production company, possibly selling the brand to someone and keeping all those guys together. We'll see if that comes to fruition or that's just talk right now. But it would be a disservice to the league if that show goes there's so many moments that people are pulling up, and we got one more year of it. I guess all things have to end, but it looks like that one's ending pretty prematurely, which is unfortunate, because for the most part, all they've done is made us laugh for the better part of, what, 20-plus years now? We will get to K.J. Martin. I mentioned him before the start of this hour. K.J. Martin, former Rocket, he has some things to say about his departure from Houston. We'll get to that when we come back. We are at Texas Star Grill Shop. Come out here. It is the 59 Freeway and Shepherd location. They just brought over more sausage and brisket. So we've had steak, sausage, and brisket all out here for you if you want to sample it. Sample the product. It's Heart, by the way, it's Heart brand beef. That's the product. And you get a little taste. Maybe you'll come back for more. That's the plan. I'll be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Now back to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Texas Star Grill Shop on Shepherd and 59. Here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back to the show. Texas Star Grill Shop is hosting the entire lineup today. Come out here and enjoy what they have to offer, from actual grills to actual cooked steak and brisket, if that's something you are looking for. We'll be out here till 6 p.m. Want to thank Texas Grill Shop, or Star Grill Shop, for hosting us. Kenyon Martin Jr. is going to be an impending free agent. He's looking for a job. I don't think the Rockets will be a spot he lands. He left under odd circumstances. The Rockets eventually traded him. Was it just about minutes or other things? We know Kenyon Martin Sr. had things to say about the Rockets throughout their run while his son was on the team. Part of having a father who played in the NBA for a long time, and also who has access to a podcast. He's going to say things about the Rockets. At some point last year, he discussed why it came up. I don't know, but he discussed his son talking to a young woman and another Rocket player sleeping with that woman. Those are the things that will come up on a podcast, I guess. But he also discussed maybe the lack of leadership for the Rockets. That's not something that is unique to him, particularly when Steven Silas was the head coach. I think we all felt like the Rockets were a little bit rudderless and certainly didn't have the right coach for the moment. And now with Ime Udoka here, I think a lot of people feel that has changed. But Kenyon Martin Jr. took to Twitter because I guess people think the reason he's no longer a Rocket is because of his father. And he has said that's not true. And in a three-tweet run, he discusses him being tired of seeing his dad being accused of being the reason he was forced out. He just said it was business. Happens in the NBA, which, if we're taking him at his word, shouldn't be surprising. That is a young team finding its way, and some pieces aren't going to fit. Sean and I have discussed this notion of a core six or core seven if they draft they keep their draft pick. Well, Kenyon Martin Jr. at one point was supposed to be part of the core until he wasn't. Things happen very quickly where a young player who had showed some promise and people liked, all of a sudden, not part of the core anymore. And we're going to see that quite a bit with the Rockets. There are going to be guys you think are legit rotation pieces who get moved out or get passed up by a different guy, because they're outside of Shingun, there really shouldn't be anyone that you should be married to as far as being a fan. You can like guys, but don't be surprised if a guy gets moved this offseason or he loses minutes because the Rockets are still trying to find their way, and Kenyon Martin Jr. was just one of those guys. Productive, entertaining, potential, all of it was part of his run here. It just didn't work out. He said he loved playing here, wish he could have stayed, but sometimes in the NBA you have to move on. And then he goes on to say he's looking for bigger and better things, and he certainly has a right approach to it. I think it's what we're going to have to do. Well, what players and what fans are going to have to deal with. There are so many players, whether they be current or former, who have access to a podcast, and because of their name, they're going to have plenty of attention on them, and they're going to say things that may directly affect or piss you off because they're saying it about their team. And in some cases, they might be the father of one of the players on the team. And in this case, it happened, and Kenyon Martin Jr. decided yesterday was the time he was going to tell the world that it's just business. And I think we should kind of approach sports just like that. Nothing is really all that personal. Unless your coach gets called a milk dud, then you can decide if you want to yell at Steven Nelson about it. But most of it is just guys who aren't all that attached to your city. And I don't know if I want to say they're mercenaries. Not all of them are. But, hey, who's going to pay me the most? And that's what Steven Nelson is dealing with, and what he dealt with when he was a Texan. They didn't pay him what he wanted. He made some noise about it, got more money, and he's still making noise about the Texans after he appears to no longer be part of their plan. And speaking of money, Dak Prescott told the world that he doesn't play for money, which is something you say when, I don't know if you're trying to garner goodwill, but it is something you say as a guy who has a lot of it already and who's under pressure to play better because of the Cowboys' failures in the postseason and who is looking for a new deal. But when posed the question about whether he was patient, considering the Cowboys haven't given him an offer he wanted, he said, "I don't play for money. Never have cared for it, to be honest with you. Would give it up just to play this game." That's a lie. All right, Dak, don't lie. No, because clearly, if the Cowboys don't pay you, you are not going to play. Don't lie to me, Dak. Just say it's not the most important thing for you. Playing with your guys, going out there and winning ball games, you want to compete, cool. But you're not giving it up just to play the game. Sean, out of all the lies being told, now there are going to be more lies told going forward, but the lie told by athletes when they say, I would play just for the love of the game, where does that rank on level of lies in sports?
It's up there because no one actually does it.
No one plays for free.
No one plays for the minimum unless you have to. I get why they can't play for free, but they do have like minimum salaries that, you know, in theory, Dak Prescott could just sign for the minimum and do that. But no,
for the love of the game,
he wants a little bit more. For the love of driving
a
nice car,
not just a little bit more.
Yeah, for the love of living in a nice house.
For the love of my next vacation.
Yeah.
Stop it! Don't.
I love a lot of things.
You're going
right?
A little far. yes, he loves his next car. He loves his next house. He loves providing a great life for his family. All those things he loves more than for the love of the game. Football has done a great service for Dak. Now he's earned it by his talent and his hard work. But don't tell me you're playing for the love of the game when you are in line for one of the biggest contracts in NFL history.
Even
if you want to sell. Was one of the biggest, and now he's going to get another one.
Yeah.
Even if you want to sell that money isn't at the forefront of your mind, you're just focused on your team and this year, I would take that and say you're probably lying about that anyway, but I wouldn't think twice. You're not playing for free. You're not playing for the minimum. Dak is going to get a big deal, whether it be from the Cowboys or someone else. Just don't lie in my face. That's all I'm looking for. Don't lie. Now the question is, for the Cowboys, how much are they willing to give a guy who they haven't reached the pinnacle of success with? This is always a question when it comes to quarterbacks. It's hard to find a good one, and when you get a good one, then it becomes how good is he and how much are you willing to pay? There are multiple guys who are falling under that particular scenario right now. Dak is one. You have Tua in Miami, who under Mike McDaniel has flourished, but he didn't finish 2022, and they lost after kind of having a bad end to the year in 2023. They lost in a playoff game where it was the coldest in, I don't know, maybe the third coldest game in history. If I remember that correctly, it was right around there. They lose. So now the question is, do you pay your injured quarterback who hasn't won a playoff game for you in your first 4 years? And the Cowboys are in a different scenario where they know Dak can win a playoff game. He just doesn't win enough of them. And all those great regular seasons have resulted in nothing. Are you going to tie yourself to him? I don't know if they have an option. Sean and I have discussed this. The Cowboys don't really have an option. The thought of punting on Dak in a year where he's still going to play pretty well, so you're not going to have a top draft pick, and then looking into Carson Beck or maybe hoping a quarterback falls to your spot in the draft, seems like a seems like a risky approach. So they're probably going to pay Dak, or they're going to, I guess, trade for a potentially available quarterback who their current team doesn't want. Is that the option they're going to look into? I mean, if you think Dak isn't good enough, the one conclusion you can come to is the Cowboys are kind of screwed, because if they don't think he's good enough, and if your opinion of him is correct, can you give him a salary that's going to take up as much of the salary cap as it will and continue to pretend like he's going to lead you to where you need to? I'm under the impression that maybe Mike McCarthy shouldn't be around very much longer, more than I am that Dak isn't the guy. Because what is Dak, like 30 years old? Are we going to make the final determination on a 30-year-old quarterback when we've seen guys older than him put it together and win? And we know you don't even have to be the best quarterback in the game to make a Super Bowl and eventually win it. We can just look to San Francisco. Brock Purdy's a good player. He's not an elite quarterback, but the team they built around him, and part of that is due to the fact that they don't have to pay him as much as the Cowboys are going to have to pay Dak, has led that team to multiple, well, first Garoppolo, then Purdy, but they're a contender every year with quarterbacks no one really believes in, and then they begrudgingly eventually say, okay, you know what, that guy's pretty good. So it can be done in different ways. The Cowboys are just under a bit of pressure because who do you have in the pipeline? You're not trusting Trey Lance to be the next guy. Cooper Rush isn't it. So either you pay Dak or you start over. And as Jerry Jones, as old as he is, who wants to win a Super Bowl before it's time for him to go off this mortal coil, decides, I'm going to start over. Seems unlikely. But hey, give Dak his money, or that's a real decision you're going to have to make. I don't envy the Cowboys. The Texans are in a much better position. They've got their guy. He doesn't have the scars of disappointing playoff losses on him. And you can just look into the future and go, our guy's going to get it done. But, you know, at one point, the Cowboys thought the same about Dak. So, like I said, Texans in a different position. Got everything out in front of them. A lot of money decisions are way off into the future. The first one coming up is Nico Collins. But his contract won't be as prohibitive as a quarterback's contract will be. So take advantage of it now, Texans. You got a real shot until, you know, your quarterback is costing you at that point probably $60 million a year when CJ's contract comes up. But, hey, don't have to worry about that now. We got a couple more segments to go here at Texas Star Grill Shop. We'll get back to the Astros and what happened in their disappointing game yesterday as their bats simply were almost DOA. Apparently Tyler Anderson is someone, and that slop he throws up there, something they couldn't handle. We'll talk about some of the numbers from that game. Who struggled? You can guess pretty much all of them. We'll get to that when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
The Del Olalea Show is broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Texas Star Grill Shop on Shepherd and 59. Now back to Del Olalea.
So the Astros go down yesterday afternoon. Hunter Brown pitched well. You get six innings and two runs out of Hunter Brown. That's a game you got to win. That's a game you cannot give away to a bad Angels team. Look, the Astros are a bad baseball team, at least as far as record tells you. Talent, sure. One of the more talented teams in baseball, particularly that lineup. But that lineup did not come through yesterday. Hunter Brown did more than keep you in the game. That was a good enough performance to win. But when Tucker, Bregman, and Alvarez go a combined, with Altuve as well, they go a combined 1-for-15 in a game against Tyler Anderson. You got what you got yesterday. One run and that came in the fifth, and it even came with a what the hell are you doing situation where Dubon gets thrown out at third, trying to stretch a double into a triple. Thrown out in a situation where there are no outs in the inning. You can't get thrown out at third base. So you compound the ineptitude on offense with bad base running, and it resulted in a loss that shouldn't have happened. So the numbers were ugly. unless you look at the pitching staff, because you got Mashinsky, Martinez, and Abreu all after Hunter Brown's six innings was from the bullpen to keep you in it. The bats just didn't come through. And Sean, this show hasn't given Alex Bregman the nickname. We haven't given him any nickname yet. Do we need to be more creative than Captain Popout, or is that one sufficient enough? Because like J.P. Francis, I call him Just Pull'em. I don't know if I just want to lean into the J6 stuff. We've got J.P. Fromms when Fromberg isn't going well. I've called Hunter Brown. Won't call him it because of what he did yesterday, but I've called him Cosplay Verlander before. Is Captain Pop-Up for Bregman an appropriate name, or do we need something else?
It's a good start, I would say. I don't know if there's some sort of alliteration that we can maybe do with Pop-Out or Pop-Up.
Oh, Captain Pop-Out, yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know, Principal Pop-Up or something.
Principal of Pop-Ups.
Prominent Pop-Out, because he's a prominent Astro. Who has issues with Joe Espada's communication?
People, well, at least that's our speculation. That's a deep dive. People got to know the background of that.
Yeah, that's
obviously
real heads know.
Yeah, that's for real Astro heads know that prominent Astro plus pop up or pop out gets prominent pop up or prominent pop out. I like that one. It takes a little bit of thinking. You have to go on Reddit to figure out what we mean.
Yeah,
you get into your Reddit theories to figure out what we're talking about.
It's a triple entendre. All right. It's not, yeah. But it's the go to Rap Genius to figure out what I mean by that.
Exactly. We're not going to make it easy on you. You got to do some research to figure out exactly what Easter eggs we're dropping on this show going forward.
And to be honest, in the course of the game, I mean, he's still batting fourth somehow. There are a lot of times where his pop-ups are very prominent in the game because there's normally a guy standing on third base.
Yeah. He's in spots where anything can change the complexion of the game, and he comes up empty. So now we are talking about a triple entendre because it means multiple things. The prominent bats, prominent Astro, and then the pop-ups obviously are the thing that kill us. He can have private conversations with people that leak to Nightingale if he wants, as long as he's hitting, as long as he's coming through. You can talk about how bad the communication is from Espada if you want. Just rake, as Pena discussed Kyle Tucker. Tucker rakes. Tucker can say whatever he wants to about anyone. Well, not whatever he wants. There are limits.
Come on.
There are limits. But as far as the baseball stuff is concerned, I don't care if he's the worst dude ever. And from what we can see, he's not. He can be awful. Just hit the baseball. And Bregman doesn't have that type of leeway because he's not hitting the baseball in any way, shape, or form that helps this team right now. 3 days. And it's been a disaster almost every other day as his batting average is now under .210. He is the – when we think about it, Abreu takes the cake as the worst Astros hitter. But Bregman, not even close. As far as everyday guys, it's not even close. He's been the worst offensive player for the Astros outside of Abreu this year. That's a man who can't live up to the moment of trying to get a contract. And I don't know if it's simply because he doesn't have one, he's pressing, but he should figure it out because his value, this is a Bellinger-type season because Bellinger out of the blue became a bad baseball player. He's gotten better since, but Bellinger went from an MVP candidate and a major contributor to the Dodgers to just bad. And for the first 2 months of the year, Bregman's duplicating that Bellinger season, which is unfortunate timing for him, considering all the money that's on the line, and considering the Astros need him to be better and be, as Danny Brown has put it, the guy who gets them going. All unfortunate, but prominent pop-up or prominent pop-out is one of the main reasons why this Astros team and this season has gone the way it has. And they'll try to get it going as they go on the road. They have the day off today. And we won't see Jose Abreu. And maybe they just keep him in Sugarland. How long can they keep him in Sugarland? Because he's a bad vibes guy, at least according to this show. Keep him away as long as possible, I think, is our our line of thinking. Does he stay in Sugar Land for a week? Do they sent him to Florida, and they could have kept him down there forever and just hit him, and that would have been fine. But now that he's mere miles away from Minute Maid, can they stash him like he's a European player in the NBA draft they never want to bring over?
But stashed in Sugar Land. Not Latvia.
Yeah, I mean they didn't send him to Greece. Yeah. He's not in Greece or anything. He's right down the road. That's the problem. Like the Florida Complex League is like stashing him in Latvia. The problem is now he's playing for the Vipers. And at some point we're gonna get numbers on him and we're gonna see what he is on a day to day basis. So either you play him or you get rid of him. They should have never brought him back to Sugar Land.
Do you think that
just leave him where he was?
Do you think it's because he only packed for 3 weeks in Florida, and he needs to come back home, pack up.
Hey, man, send him some clothes.
Just mail him?
Take him on a shopping spree.
Oh, but...
Yeah, take him on a shopping... He's got money. He can buy stuff.
I forgot he makes $20 billion a year. Yeah, he could definitely...
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard, one of the biggest issues why he's still a part of the team is because of all the money he's making. He's got the money.
I don't know. Maybe he was just, you know, homesick. Wants to see his dog.
Abreu was a draft and stash in Florida. Now they brought him back. Now he's a guy we have to pay attention to. They made a mistake. You leave him down there. No one's going to care if he stays down there for the rest of his time, at least this year. Now he's in Sugar Land. Now he's a conversation piece. And so we still haven't got an answer. How long do you think he stays in Sugar Land? Because we thought he might have been back on Friday with the big club. Now he's going to be in Sugar Land for the weekend. Does he make it back before the next homestand? Is he back with the Astros for the next homestand?
Ooh, that's a good question. So will he have to get on a plane again to rejoin the Astros? Will he be a Houston Astro the next time he steps foot on a plane?
I guess injury would – if there's an injury, he might show up on the road. But if there's no injury, is he back before – the homestand begins, or is he back when the homestand begins?
So this weekend, starting on Friday, starting tomorrow, they go to Oakland to play the A's, and then starting on Monday, they go to Seattle and have a four-game series in Seattle against the Mariners. And then on next Friday, so the 35th, or the 35th, the 31st, they're back home facing the Twins at Minute Maid Park. I think it's next Friday is when he comes back.
He's back to welcome back. Oh, okay. So he's back to welcome Carlos Correa back to Houston.
Yes, exactly. So
I'm not,
when he steps back into the batter's box in probably the third inning, maybe the second inning for the first time, because he will be batting eighth, I imagine. He'll get a standing ovation.
They put him there?
Yeah, and then he'll get a standing ovation.
You think he's batting eighth?
Yeah.
No chance.
That's where he was batting when he left.
Then why is – if he can't even regain his status in the order and he's still batting eighth, why is he playing?
Oh, prove it.
Clearly he hasn't improved enough to be improved in the order. Why is he – what's he playing?
Just prove it. Prove it to everyone. Everyone has to prove – their lineup
not
spot,
Bregman
except for Alex
Bregman spent three.
Oh, he's Bregman a prominent Astro.
Get back into the. Okay, sure.
He's prominent.
You're right. He is a prominent Astro.
He can't. Yeah, come
His
on.
His prominence allowed him to be elevated. You're right.
He can only
right.
go down to fifth.
I just think if Abreu hasn't improved enough to avoid being in the eighth spot, he shouldn't be playing.
Go back to Florida.
He shouldn't be playing.
Get ready to relearn West Palm Beach, buddy.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a very different vernacular in West Palm Beach than there is in Houston. I'm sure it's very different, the English being spoken there. But he's a guy, as I said before, we talk about nicknames. He should be Getaway Day Jose. That he should be playing. He would have been playing in the game yesterday, where the Astros are getting out of town and they want to give a guy a rest. Throw Jose Abreu in there. I don't think he should play in his first game back that he's active. He shouldn't be just injected back into the order. I guess it depends on who's pitching that day. Maybe if there's a left-hander and Singleton's been terrible against left-handers, they throw him in there because the under 100 hitter is going to be a clear improvement, I guess. That's a Dubon spot. If you don't want to put Singleton against left-handers, throw Dubon out there. Instead, we, at least this show thinks, Abreu's back next Friday against Minnesota. And even that's too quick of a turnaround.
That's just me looking at the schedule and thinking,
yes,
thinking that he won't play this weekend, and I can't imagine you would throw him in there against the division-leading Seattle Mariners. So, Twins.
I understand.
To face, well, not his former teammate, but former Astro, Carlos Correa.
Jose Abreu, Carlos Correa, yeah. Because, you know, you want to introduce him back into an environment where he's going to be very well supported. Everyone loves him, yeah, because the Houston crowd is going to love to see him back out there.
Well, there'll also be a problem because the Houston crowd will be cheering more for the opposing shortstop than him. So
than the starting first baseman
for the Houston Astros, yeah.
So yes, the cheers for Carlos Correa will be certainly louder than the cheers for Jose Abreu. Now the question is, if he strikes out in his first two plate appearances, will the cheers for Carlos Correa be louder than the boos for Jose Abreu?
I don't know. I don't think he was getting booed though.
And yeah, he's just not good. He's not like an offensive guy. There's no reason not to like him other than he can't hit the baseball anymore. You're right. I don't think people are going to stoop to booing him. I think it'll just be, oh, no. It'll be a lot of sighs.
Because Houston fans aren't, like, the biggest booers as it is. They will boo, but they're not, like, Philly or New York or, you know, the places that are kind of famous for it, for booing their own players. Houston, and especially this Jose Abreu thing, I don't think people are mad. I think, especially if you're at the game, you're not mad at Jose Abreu. I think it's just sad how bad he is. I think it's, like, actually sad that he's the worst hitter in baseball.
Yeah, I think you're right. As I said, there's nothing why you would dislike him. It's just that he's not good anymore.
Yeah, he just stinks.
He just stinks. He's awful. And you just would hope that you didn't have to watch him play baseball anymore. I think that's the extent of the issue with him. But there's a real chance we're going to see him quite a bit as long as the Astros seem to find some value in him, and apparently they do. So that is something to look out for, whether he's back on the road trip or back once the Astros return to town. We're going to see Jose Abreu at some point. We got one more segment here to go. I am at Texas Star Grow Shop. Gallant and George are in the building. They're going to follow us here, or at least follow me here, and then the Killer Bees will follow them. One more segment to go here on the show. I'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Now back to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Texas Star Grill Shop on Shepherd and 59. Here's Del Olalea.
Final segment for me here at Texas Star Grill Shop. We are at the 50 Shepherd and 59 location here. Gallant and George are in the building. They'll follow me. You guys should come out here beyond the fact that they're giving away Wagyu beef, whether it be in steak form or brisket form or sausage form. They're giving you an opportunity with Memorial Day weekend coming up to save and set yourself up for the summer. Whether you want $500 off a Traeger, $800 off a Blaze, maybe you want a pizza oven, $300 off a Gosney pizza oven. Maybe you have all those things, or maybe you have one of those things. You're not looking for a giant purchase, but you're looking for something to give your beef the Texas-style barbecue taste. They have $5 bags of Texas Star Post Oak Cooking Wood. You can come out here for that, and the sale will go on through May 31st. So, sure, it's about Memorial Day, but it's also about the summer. It's time to grill. It's that time of the year. Come out to Texas Star Grill Shop and get yourself set up for that. I don't know about the Wi-Fi here. I just gave the guys the pass and the name for it. But apparently, they treat Pro Football Talk like you're a hacker trying to break into a government system. As soon as you type in Pro Football Talk, all the alerts come up. It is. I don't know what they think of Mike Florio, but they're probably right about him. Let's be honest. If they're treating the website that way, it's like no go. So for you two gentlemen, if you want to search pro football talk stuff, do it off your cell service, not the Wi-Fi here at Texas Star Grill Shop. Look, I would treat Mike Florio that way too. So if you don't like his website, it's okay with me. And Texas Star Grill Shop thinks that website is the worst thing on the internet as they try to protect you from it. So just be aware, Gallant and George, and I guess the killer bees when they come out here. There is news out of the NCAA, and it involves we're maybe not days, but more legislation away from eventually the institutions being allowed to pay the players. We know the deal right now; they're not allowed to. Although we know we're involved. They're involved in it. Hell, Billy Napier say, "Hey, how come this could have been passed? I don't know, a year ago, before one of my former players who never played for me but signed on the dotted line is now suing me." We are at a point where there will not be a separation. The vote was yesterday. The Board of Governors voted, the NCAA Board of Governors voted Wednesday evening to agree to a settlement, to agree to settlement terms in the House versus NCAA and related antitrust cases. Really, the rub of it all is that eventually Steve Sarkisian can openly promise to give an offensive lineman a lot of money instead of letting a booster handle it. Coaches at some point will be able to be directly involved, and it won't be a problem because now amateurship is out the door. If you want to call it pro sports, you can call it pro sports. We've been leaning that way already, but we are very close to guys and women who play on the college level being employees. That ruling came down, and the likes of the Big 12 and the ACC were already in. The Big 10 joined them yesterday, and the SEC and Pac-12 are expected. The Pac-12. Can we not do that anymore? Can we just call them Washington State and Oregon State? Although they kept the branding because they will continue to receive money from the Pac-12 brand. But, hey, I guess that is one of the unintended consequences of NIL, that lawsuits came about. The NCAA, we know, are toothless. So the players will be employees. Will unions begin? I don't know. But just one more step in the process to changing college sports into the professional ranks. And some of you, I don't know if I've heard from you directly, but I've seen certainly some people are up in arms about this particular aspect of college sports. Maybe you love the let's just say the naive thought that this was different from the pros. Only in name, because the stories about guys getting money under the table has been a thing for years. Now it's more overt because of NIL, and now your favorite school will be able to pay directly. Maybe it'll be a salary. Maybe it'll just be a version of NIL. But we're getting there. Well, where they will be no different than the pros. And I think considering where the sport, particularly college football, that's the one we like to focus on. But college basketball has been the same way. Where the sports are now, just get used to it. That there is no line anymore, and pro sports and college sports are one and the same, and maybe that'll lead to good things, but I'm sure there'll be more unintended consequences because that's kind of how it always is. Just about wrapping up here, I want to thank Texas Star Grill Shop for hosting the entire station. I gotta thank Chef Cecil from Heart Brand Beef. He hooked us up all day long, and I keep telling you guys. I mean, I don't know if you want to be sample person and just come out here and take a sample and leave. Maybe you have other things to do, but come out here and try it. The people out here are great. If you need something grilling-wise, they'll take care of you. As I keep talking about the grills, but there are things. If you just need an oven mitt, that's here for you too. A pan for your beef, for your chicken, for your sausage. All that stuff is out here too. It's a one-stop shop if you are in the grilling game. Gallant and George are coming up next. They'll take you to 3, and then the Killer Bees will follow them. I want to thank Sean Mapes for being the producer throughout the morning, and Samantha. Samantha handled the board today. Couldn't tell the difference other than sometimes I talk back and a more feminine voice talk back to me. That's the only difference. She ran the board great today. Thank you, Sam, for doing that. You'll hear more from Sam. She's going to be part of the station going forward. So nice job by you. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.